Open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 9. Preacher told me, he said, we usually like to quit about 8 o'clock around here. I said, praise the Lord, I got plenty of time. Some of y'all about to pass out right there, ain't you? I have used up a lot of my time, I suppose. It's 10 till 7. He said, actually about 15, 20 or somewhere around in there afterwards. Mark chapter number 9, I want to preach, amen, what I believe the Lord wants me to preach. I was going to preach out of Acts chapter number 17. That's what I wanted to preach. Because Brother Ballou, I saw him just recently. He said, make sure you make it up to camp meeting. He said, I'll try to get you up there. And Lord willing, if I preach at camp meeting, I probably will be preaching this message. I was going to preach out of Acts 7, number 17. But God wants me to preach right here. I see a lot of parents. I see a lot of young people in this church tonight. I see a lot of grandparents in this building tonight. And can I preach to you for just a little bit? Is it all right? It might not be the mission's message that the missionary is supposed to preach. I understand that. But can I just obey God and preach what God wants to get me to preach? Amen. I'd rather give a message than just go through an outline just for the sake of going through an outline. I'd rather have God have his way, wouldn't you? Amen. And I believe God's got a message for some folks here tonight in Mark chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 17. It says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. I spake to thy disciples, they should cast him out. They could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes they've cast him to the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. There's a pause right there. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, rent him sore. He came out of him as one that was dead. Insomuch many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Apparently, I'm going to quit reading right there. Apparently from these verses, if I could just summarize it, we see a dad who is coming to the Lord in regard of his own son. I want to preach just for a little bit on this thought on, help, Lord, I'm losing my kid. Help, Lord, I'm losing my kid. You may be here tonight as a parent, and you may be as this man. You may be here as a grandparent. I've preached this message before, and I've had grandparents come up to me with tears in their eyes, and they say, please pray for my grandkids. Because if you've noticed the same thing I've noticed, that many times people that are raised in a good Bible preach in church, and then they try to grow their kids up that way. But then their kids come along, and then their kids come along. And if we're not careful, we see, amen, that every generation, it seems like, gets a little weaker and a little weaker and a little more compromising and a little bit further away from God. Hello? Y'all said I could preach tonight, didn't you? If you're like some parents and grandparents, amen, this man began to notice, the Bible says, Jesus said, how long have you been noticing problems with your boy? He said, ever since he was a kid, he was a child, and I began to notice some things about him. Can I ask you, have you noticed so many things? Spiritual things in your children's lives? Hello? Don't die on me right here. Man, y'all were all excited, man, when I was telling y'all about South Dakota. Can y'all get excited because I'm going to preach this message right here, amen? Amen? Have you noticed some things? Can I just give you a few things about this dad? And I'll try to pass on through here and preach this message, amen. And I pray that God will help hearts through this. First of all, I noticed the father's humility. The father's humility. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm telling you, it took humility for this man. The Bible says there was a multitude, and this man raises his hand, and he said, God, I have brought unto you my son. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, we're all human in here tonight, ain't we? You know how easy it is for us to say, hey, your kid might do that. Hey, oh, boy. I've noticed some things about your kid and their kid. And people would get together and talk about other kids and other families. Hey, amen. But this dad said, it's my kid. It's my son that's in trouble. And I'm telling you, that took humility. Somebody says, not my kid. Look up here at me. Your kid too. You say, my kid will never do that. Your kid is every bit of capable of doing it because he's wrapped in the same flesh as every one of us tonight. That's right. Amen. That took some humility. And it'd do us well, dads. Did I mention I got 9 kids? I got a little bit of experience. Amen. And having youngins and trying to raise young. It would do us well to walk in humility. Listen. I mean, I hear people tell stories their dad taught them or their, you know, their dad, they never saw their dad cry. Their dad taught them how to be tough and rough and how to beat everybody up and this, that, and other. That, listen, that ain't real manhood. Real manhood says you can kneel before God. Real manhood says you can humble yourself before God. And if you will, you can stand before any man. Humility. This dad has some humility. I mean, there's a crowd, maybe a crowd about this big, probably bigger. And Jesus sees the crowd, and this guy says, Lord, I've brought unto you my son. Notice what he says. He has a dumb spirit. You know what? It took humility for this dad to admit this. You know what he's saying? You know what dumb is? It means he's not talking. Am I the only one? Yeah, you're the missionary. And you mean you're going to confess up? Oh, yeah. I know I'm not the only one that's sitting down with my kids and something is troubling them. And you beg them and you talk to them and you pour your heart out to them and you say, talk to me. What is going on in that head of yours? And they just look at you and say, nothing. Hello. I know I ain't the only one that's experienced that. They say, nothing. Nothing's wrong. He said he's got a dumb spirit. My boy is not talking to me. That took humility. Notice verse number 18. Wheresoever he taketh him, that spirit's taking his boy. That took humility. He is saying, there are times, maybe... That I looked that word taketh up, and it means literally to possess and to take anywhere that spirit wanted to take him. Perhaps this dad is confessing up and saying, I've woke up in the middle of the night and went into his bedroom, and my boy would be gone. The spirit is taking him, and he seems to be able to. Is anybody getting the picture of this? This devil seems to be able to take my son. Whenever he feels like it, he taketh him. He teareth him. I looked that word up too. It means literally to tear or lacerate the body. Mark it down. Listen to me now. Some of us parents, don't be naive. Hello. Don't be naive. You say, not my kid, yes, your kid too. It's literally in the skin. What is happening on the inside will show up on the outside. There was an outward manifestation of what was happening on the inside of that boy. The father could not see that spirit, but he could see the result of the spirit grabbing hold of his boy and taking him and tearing him. Making marks in his skin. A lot could be said right there, couldn't it? I mean, we're living in a Christian generation who don't have a problem with tattoos. Say amen right there. Can I just help up, man, preacher? Preacher's going to be like, brother, just, you're the missionary. You're supposed, hey, can I help you right here? When your youngins are little, don't buy them stinking little tattoos and stick them on their body and then wonder why, amen, they want to fill their body up with that garbage when they get older. Amen. He said he's tearing him. He's taking him. He's tormenting him. He wallows. He foams at the mouth. He is being taken. He's being torn. He is being tormented. He has been thrown away. He said he pineth. He said, I'm watching my boy wither away. I am losing my son. I wonder, maybe some of you grandparents in here tonight raised your kids in church. They might not. Hey, my grandkids ain't being raised in church. Maybe some of you grandparents in here, great grandparents, you raised your kids right, tried to raise them in church. And they get older, now they're going to church, and you're seeing your grandkids not being raised for God. Is that not heartbreaking? Maybe some of you parents raised you right. And they raised you out of that Bible. They held you to a high accountability. Maybe you've let some of those things slip. Maybe, yeah, you're faithful to the house of God until it comes for a ball game. You've just taught your kid that that ball game is more important than the house. Y'all, don't get mad at the preacher. But I guarantee you that if this dad had an option, preacher, of taking his son, which was being tormented, to a ball game rather than taking him to Jesus, he would have took him to Jesus every time. Somebody says, man, is it 7:15 yet? The Father's humility, he admitted all of this. The Father's hope. I'm glad, preacher. I'm glad when the dad says, Lord, it's me. It's my son. It's our family. I took him to your disciples. I got to say something right there. I took him to the preacher, man, and the preacher couldn't fix him. Hello. I mean, I know I sent him off. Oh, man. I know I sent him off to a public education system for 8 hours a day. Let them come home and fill their minds with everything that the TV has to offer, and got mad at the preacher if the preacher couldn't fix him. Not a whole lot of amens. Pastor said amen. Amen. But I'm glad that when he got through saying that, that Jesus didn't say, well, I'm sorry. Sorry. I know you took him to my disciples, but I tell you, if you ain't got no help by now, you just ain't going to get none. But there was hope. He said, man, I've got all these problems. And the Lord said, he said, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing with him. The Lord said, bring him to me. Hey! The best thing you can do for your youngins is bring them to him. Amen. That is our hope. Amen. There is no hope in the world. There is no hope. Amen. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, bring him up here. Well, can I just move on? I know I'm running out of time. I see the Father's heart. Obviously, the Father is concerned. Here's how I imagine this story to go. Maybe the Lord, maybe this Father tried to get the Lord's attention. Maybe he raised his hand. Excuse me, Lord. When I see that hand go up, I don't see a normal hand like mine and his arm. You know what I see preacher wear? I imagine it all marred up and scarred up. What from? He said, there are times that this spirit has got hold of my boy and has dragged my boy into the fire. You see this father's heart? You see this guy? And this dad says, that boy ain't going into the fire without a fight. I will reach in there and pull him out. I'm I'll do everything. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for my kids. His arms, man, I'm telling you, are all scarred up because he has had to go running. No doubt that boy, I mean, and how long has this been happening? He said, I've noticed it since it was a child. And can y'all imagine? Y'all see that boy I was holding up here, 3 years old. Could you imagine if something was to happen or your children and your kid got, can you imagine, sir, that little one getting caught in a burning building or out in the fire? Wouldn't you run in there and grab him? Sure you would. He says, there's nothing I wouldn't do for my kid. As a matter of fact, this thing has thrown him over in the lake. He was drowning. I've had to jump in the water. I've had to get a hold of that boy. And him fighting against me because he's in a panic. He's drowning. Why is the devil throwing him in the fire and in the flood? It says there to destroy him. I got news for you. The devil wants to destroy your children. There's not a soft side to him. He could care less about your family. Not even a little bit. We got to be on guard. You better be ready to jump in the water. Reach in the fire. Pull your kids out. Drag them. Imagine when you try to save somebody from drowning, it's for, you know what they do? They fight against you. Don't they? They'll start hitting you because they're panicking. They'll reach for everything. They'll start hitting you. And there's a way of rescuing someone. You know what? The dad, glory to, man, I'm about to have, I didn't know, the dad knew. The dad knew the maneuver to rescue his boy. He says, I'm losing him. It's dragging him off. The Lord says, I still see this father's heart, don't you? Boy, especially right here. He said, how long have you been noticing this? I don't know how old this young man is, but obviously he's not a child. He said, but I've noticed it since he was a little child. The Lord says, bring him up here, and they bring him. And while he is coming, the spirit grabbed a hold of that boy, is what it says. It tore him. That means it left another mark on him. It throwed him on the ground, and he is wallowing around on the ground, the Bible says, and he's foaming at the mouth. Get a picture of this. In front of the multitude, I imagine the dad standing here and looking at Jesus. They said, bring his son. And I mean, that spirit tears him, throws him down, and he's wallowing on the ground, foaming at the mouth. Out of control. And he says, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. Man, I still see that humility. Humbleness. Help us, Lord. And the Lord turns that if around on him. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. In other words, you can have some help if you're ready to believe it. Boy, I see a Baptist. This guy had to have been a Baptist. Here's why I say that. We are so flippant to just throw out Bible words and Bible lingo to convince everybody we're right where we need to be. He said, if you can believe, and the Bible says the very next verse, and straightway, I believe. Is that what he says? Straightway, right then. We want our problem fixed right now. We want to be able to go to one church service, and that's it. I want it fixed. I want one counseling service with my pastor, and I want it to be over with. Straightway. There's a pause there. The Lord said, if you can believe, and he says, I believe. The problem was, is when he says, I believe, he hears something. Yes, he does. Yes. And what he hears is this boy over here on the ground. Not only does he hear something, he turns, now he's seeing something. And he realizes, everybody listen to this statement right here. What he was seeing was not lining up with what he was saying was not lining up with what he was seeing. That's us. That's us, independent Baptists, so many times. How's your family doing? Doing good. But what you're seeing at home is not lining up with what you're saying. And we talk of faith, and we talk, man, I believe God, and I believe that Bible. And I mean, boy, I mean, to hear us talk about ourselves, we are sure enough something. We're spiritual giants. This man said, I believe. Until he saw that boy. Won't you just go ahead and admit, everything ain't just running the way it's supposed to. Yes, sir. That takes humility to do that. Amen. So he says, I believe. I believe. With a smile. I believe. We're so good at that. How you doing? I'm doing good. I believe. I believe that Bible. I'm living the victorious Christian life. And when you get back to the house, you really ain't. And you look over at that boy and he's walking around foaming. And you say, I thought all it would take was for me to say I believe, but the results is not what I'm wanting. And then he says, Lord, help my unbelief.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
He did not accuse the Lord as if the Lord did not have the power to help him. He admitted up and said, it's me. Help thou mine unbelief. Do we really believe God like we say we do? Do we believe God like we convince others that we do? Help thou my unbelief. The Lord saw the crowd coming together. He says, I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this. Notice what he says. He says, I command thee, thou dumb. And the Lord added something. And deaf. He said, I'll tell you something. Not only is your boy and your children are not talking to you, they ain't hearing you either. Is everybody all right? He's dumb and deaf. And the Lord got a hold of him. And commanded the spirit. You know what? The fact of the matter is this was the only, he had gotten down to his last, I tell you, we are so good at putting up a facade and saying everything is A-okay. And on the inside, we are battling with something and we don't want other people to know it. We want our family to be the picture-perfect family in the church. And some husbands and wives and children in here know that that is simply just not the case. And I believe God has sent a message for you tonight to perhaps get a hold of your heart.
Amen.
You young people, look up here at me right quick. Are you listening to your mom and dad? Are you hearing them? Have you got a mom and dad that'll sit down and pray with you or talk to you and say, talk to me? And you sit there and stare at them with a blank look and you're not talking and you're really not listening? Is that you? You would do well to humble your heart before
right.
God.
Yes, sir.
And humble yourself before
yes,
your parents.
Yeah.
You may be here tonight and you've never been saved by the grace of God. Might be like I was, preacher. 10-year-old and made a profession. But I'm telling you, buddy, when I got a little bit older, there was no change in my life. I was rebellious and I could not wait to leave the house. I was going to do anything and everything that I wanted to. And you know what? I did. I did, buddy. And I got back home and I was going to rededicate my life to God. And I got an altar and I started saying, God, I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
And the Lord saved me that night.
Yeah, man.
And when the Lord saved me, he made a new creature out of me.
Right.
Some of you may be here tonight and you may need to be made a new creature.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of you dads, some of you moms and grandparents, you may be here tonight and say, I know exactly what you're talking about. You may be carrying a burden for your children, your grandchildren. I tell you, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then, Pastor, you come. Would you stand with me? I appreciate your attention tonight. It's 7:14. according to my watch. Hallelujah. I want to honor the time that the pastor gives me. I mean that. Father, I love you. I don't want to take it for granted that I've had the opportunity to preach to these dear folks tonight, right here in, wow, Pastor McCauley's pulpit, Lord. That, Lord, I don't take that for granted, Lord. Thank you. But Lord, you know our hearts, and it's been my intent to be a help. Lord, perhaps there may be some in here, some families, maybe some dads may need to grab a hold of their wife and their children and make their way to the altar and pray with them tonight, or pray with their children, or maybe some moms, some grandparents may be carrying a heavy burden tonight. Maybe some folks in here tonight, it's never been saved by your good grace. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them tonight. Toss that old pride. Oh, God, help us to get rid of our pride. Because, Lord, as long as we're proud, we're still going to stand there like everything's just right. But, Lord, we're not fooling you. And, Lord, we really need to be in the altar crying and begging you to help our family. But we're so stinking prideful. God, I pray that you'd help that one that's most prideful tonight humble their hearts, I do pray. Help them to humble themselves and come up and bow before you. Get some help from their family, for their family tonight. And I'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. Do an eternal work in the hearts and lives of the folks that are here, I do pray. In Jesus' name.